All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming today. My name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors of the Rio. I want to start off with a question. And the question is, do you ever feel ill-equipped? Ill-equipped for life or maybe ill-equipped spiritually? I saw a meme that was similar to this today or yesterday. Life is a lot like a game of chess. I don't know how to play chess. And I think sometimes we can feel a little like that, like we're kind of going through life and it's like, I don't know what to do. We have problems in our marriages and we don't quite know how to fix those. We want to improve and to grow and we don't quite know how to do that. Maybe there are other people who we want to help. And we see these trials in people's lives around us and we don't know what to say or how to help them. Or maybe just spiritually, we want to tell other people about our faith in Jesus because it's important to us, but we don't know how to do that. And I would like to share something with you this morning that has really helped me to grow and to be able to have different answers and wisdom and things that I didn't have before. Obviously, I'm still growing and all that, just like all of us. But it has helped me tremendously. And it relates to memorization, memorizing Bible passages. I realize that when I say that, I'm really running a risk of turning off my audience. It's kind of like when someone says they're going to talk about flossing or something, and they're like, great, you know, just what I want to hear about today. And the reason I want to talk about this is because for me, this has been tremendously important in my faith, and I feel like in equipping me for life. And when I went through a period of memorizing scripture, it just helped me so much. And so when I look at what has impacted me the most spiritually, I would look at memorization. More so than conferences, more so than going to church, more so than small groups, maybe more so than reading the Bible. There's something about it that has been tremendously helpful in my own life. And so that's what I want to share with you guys. And I'm going to do part of the sermon just basically as a how-to, a real super practical, weird thing to have at church. But I think part of our struggle is that we want to memorize, but we don't know how. We think it's a good idea. Like if you could just come and someone could plug in a flash drive into your head or something, you could download the Bible, you'd be like, oh yeah, great. You know, if you thought it was easy, if you thought you could do it, it would be a good thing. But I think we think it's really hard and challenging and it's something that we can't do. And so it turns us off and that's why it seems like flossing. And so let's pray and then we'll look at that. God, we do just ask that you would just bless here this morning and that we would hear from you and pray that you would just help us just to learn your word and to, I guess, fall in love with it. And I think of the Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, and just how it's all about your word. And the author of that, David or whoever it was, just seems so in love with you and with your word, just at kind of a weird level. It's like, well, God, help us to love your word like that. Help us to fall in love with your truths and these things that teach about you and who you are. And I pray that you would equip us with your word, equip us for life. And so we pray that you would just bless this time and help this to be a life-changing time for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to start off with a story. So it's out of the book of Judges. And let's just read Judges 3:15. It says, again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man, the son of Gera the Benjamite. The Israelites sent him with tribute to Eglon, the king of Moab. Now Ehud had made a double-edged sword about a cubit or a foot and a half long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. He presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man. So in this story, what's going on is the Israelites have been conquered or taken over by Moab, kind of the enemies. And these guys are oppressing the Israelites, and they're making the Israelites pay some kind of a tribute, bags of gold or food, and they're trying to basically buy them off, kind of like here, you take this tribute, take this money and food and provisions, and we'll give you all this stuff, and you guys just kind of leave us alone, let us be, and don't be mean to us. And so let's continue on in the story as Ehud is bringing this tribute to Eglon. It says, after Ehud had presented the tribute, he sent on their way those who had carried it. But on reaching the stone images near Gilgal, he himself went back to Eglon and said, your majesty, I have a secret message for you. The king said to his attendants, "Leave us," and they all left. Ehud then approached him while he was sitting alone in the upper room of his palace and said, "I have a message from God for you." As the king rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Even the handle sank in after the blade, and his bowels discharged. Ehud did not pull the sword out, and the fat closed in over it. So, I like this story for a couple of reasons, the obvious one being because it's so gross. And I don't know, I'm just that type of personality that I think that makes it very funny and interesting. I also like that kind of a one-liner, "I have a message from God for you." You know, you can just picture that in a movie scene, right? Right before he stabs him. And so I think that's pretty cool. I'm right-handed, but if I was left-handed, I'd like the story because of that too. So I want to think about this. Why did Ehud have the edge over Eglon? Probably a few different reasons. One is he was probably more physically fit. And so you might want to keep this story in mind when you're making your New Year's resolutions. Another would be that he had the element of surprise. And another would be he had a sword. That's a pretty big advantage. And I think in life, if we're going to fight any kind of warfare, we want to have some kind of a weapon. And certainly if we're going to fight spiritual warfare, we need some kind of a weapon. And so what's our sword in the Christian life? Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The Word of God is the sword. Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And so we want to understand this, that there's something about the Word that's actually quite powerful. Now, it doesn't have to be. We know the example of the Pharisees, who, of course, knew lots of Scripture, had lots of Scripture memorized, but they didn't put it into practice. They didn't live it out. But that doesn't mean that there's no value to the Word. Obviously, from these verses, we see that there's something pretty cool about the Word, something powerful. It's not just a bunch of words, but it's the words of God, the truths of God. We see Jesus using Scripture like a sword. In the temptation of Jesus, all three times when Satan came to him with a tempting idea, Jesus conquered him or came at him with Scripture. And it's interesting, even Satan knew Scripture and quoted Scripture to Jesus. And so there's this battle going on between them that's related to them quoting Scripture. And Jesus was quoting out of Deuteronomy. It's kind of interesting to think about. I don't know, being God in the flesh, at that point in his life, did he have all Scripture memorized? Or, you know, like, was it like imparted to him? Did he just like come preloaded with that? Or I don't know how that worked. Maybe he had just been reading Deuteronomy that morning in his time with the Lord, but it was obviously something that was on his heart. So what do we need a sword for? I like this verse in Ephesians. It says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And so we need to understand that the battles we face aren't just earthly physical battles, but they're actually spiritual battles. So even if you just think about your greatest trials, your greatest struggles in life, what are those? Could be related to maybe marriage, could be anger, maybe other relationships, friendships, family members. Could be a sin. Could be sexual sin. These different battles that we face go on inside of us, and they're not just physical battles, right? They're spiritual battles. And they can be addressed spiritually. And we see that, of course, happening with Jesus. There were physical elements to the trials that he faced, but there was also this spiritual thing that was going on. 1 Peter, it says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so we have this very literal spiritual enemy who is out to destroy us. And I'm not one of those people who's like, you know, oh, the devil's around every corner or something, or seeing every single event as some kind of spiritual thing, you know, like, oh, the light bulb burned out, and oh, I was trying to get ready for church. It's Satan trying to stop me. Or, you know, it's like, I don't know about that. But there is something going on. And there's a spiritual element to those struggles that we fight. And I think it's important that we don't just take those as, you know, like, oh, well, here's 10 tips on how to overcome depression. Like, oh, maybe that's helpful, maybe it's not. But what's going on spiritually? How can we attack things from that mindset or from that framework? And so, well, the way we do is with a sword. So I think about, okay, if we're going to be fighting spiritual battles, what kind of sword do we want to have? If I was going to go to battle, I would want a good sword. When I was a teenager, I remember when Conan the Barbarian came out. It's like, that was a cool movie, you know, and a cool sword and a cool guy. And you know, you want a big honking sword, but, you know, not so big that you can't wield it, but a big, strong one. You want a sharp sword. You want one that's going to not be brittle and going to be able to, you know, clash against other swords and stuff, that's going to be able to withstand the fight. And so I think about that spiritually. You know, if the Word of God is the sword, then what kind of sword do I want to be equipped with? And I really want a sword that I can go to battle with, because life is going to throw a lot of different battles at me. And so for me personally, years ago, I had grown up in the church, and I had like gone through an Awana program where I had learned scripture and stuff, and that was really good. But in my mid-20s, maybe, I just kind of felt like, it's like, man, I am really ill-equipped in life, ill-equipped to fight my own struggles, ill-equipped to help other people, ill-equipped to tell other people about Jesus, just in all kinds of different ways. And I started memorizing, and it just really changed me. It really helped me have a sword that I could use in the real life struggles that I faced. And so for me, that was just a really big deal. So just practically, what are some ways a sword is helpful, or the Bible, to resist temptation? Like we see in the example of Jesus. And actually, it's kind of a fascinating story of Jesus' temptation, how he used scripture there. To be honest with you guys, I don't know that I'd do that. I would say ever, but maybe there's a couple times in my life where I've done that, you know, like where I feel a temptation and I quote a scripture. It's like, wow, that's kind of weird that Jesus did that and that I don't. And maybe there's a little bit more to tap into there. I think it helps us understand God better when we know God better. Just like when you think about the greatest commandments, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like, oh, okay, well, that's good. So how do we do that? Well, if you were going to love some person, like if you were commanded, okay, I want you to love Sarah or whoever. I don't know if there's any Sarahs here today, but love Sarah with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, what would you do? I suppose you would try to get to know Sarah, right? You would find out what's lovable about Sarah. And I think the same thing with God is we think that that's so intangible to love God, but actually getting to know him and who he is, what he's like, how he thinks, that helps us to fall in love with him. And I think having a good sword helps us to be able to counsel and encourage other people. We're in all kinds of different life situations where people get stuck and they need help. And sometimes if you can offer spiritual truths to them, that's a really valuable thing. Think about strengthening your own faith foundations. If you've been following Jesus for very long, and you look back and you think about the Christians that you hung out with maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago, maybe from your small group back then or from your church back then, or depending on your age, your youth group, whatever it is, how many of them are still doing well? You know, is it 80% or 50% or 10%? A lot of people kind of fall off, drift away, and it's a heartbreaking thing to think about. And I'm not just talking about people that like switch churches or something, but people who just give up on God. It's just like too much for them. And I think we can take our faith for granted and kind of feel like, oh, you know, I'm strong and I'm doing well, but maybe it would be good for us to put some energy into strengthening our faith foundations. And I think knowing God's word well is one of those ways. And so I want to just think about how we can sharpen our sword through memorization and meditation. I'm not actually going to talk about meditation much. For me, what happens is if I memorize verses, then I find that they just kind of rumble around in my head a little bit. And then as I'm going for a walk or something or thinking about a certain situation, then they kind of come to mind. And so meditating, to me, is just a bit of a byproduct of memorization. Other people might, you know, sit and just really consciously meditate for a while and think about a particular verse, but that has not been my personal pattern. So the first thing I would encourage you to think about is just that you actually can memorize. You might start with the default position of, oh, I can't do that, I'm no good at that. Actually, I think you can, and I think you're actually pretty good at it, probably a lot better than you think that you are. So I got a question for you guys, and the question is how many of you feel like you've got an average memory or better than average memory? Raise your hand if you're average or better than average. Okay, that's actually pretty good. It seems like, you know, half of us should have raised our hands, but that didn't happen, so maybe we're not good at math or we're not good at memory. I'm not sure which it is, but how many of you feel like you're not just below average, but like you have a really, really poor memory? Okay? A few of us. I need one of you to volunteer to, just want to ask you a few more questions. Someone that just raised your hand, Jenna, you'd be up for that. So, first is, what's your name? Okay, that's good. She didn't even like look at anything to do that. And what's your phone number?
915-820-7004.
Okay, and then I need your social security number and your credit card number. Oh, just kidding. Do you know either of those? Both? Okay, that's good. She knows her social security number. So that's pretty good. That's kind of an obscure thing to know, isn't it? Did you like sit down like with flashcards and learn your phone number and social security number? No? Okay. That's interesting. And if something happened to Tom and he had to stay and help clean up and you had to drive home, could you get home?
Yeah.
Okay. And you could get back and pick him up later?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. I guess Tom's on cleanup today. So let's do a finish the sentence. Okay. All right, I'll say something, and you try to figure out what comes next, okay? So, 4 score and...
7 years ago.
Okay, that's right, 4 score and 7 years ago. That's kind of obscure. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday. There we go. Okay, snuck that one in. It's Kasai's birthday today. But she knew the word deer, too. Okay, so that was good. You guys don't have a TV. How about in the past? Did you ever watch TV in the past? Okay. What's a show that you used to like? Gilmore Girls. Okay. And can you name 3 characters from Gilmore Girls? Okay. No, you're doing great.
And,
Suki? Okay. Well, that's good. I don't know if you're right or not, because I don't think I've ever seen that show. Let's see. Sports? Do you like sports? Okay, what sports do you like? Okay. And what's Tom's favorite team? Okay. Did they have a winning season or losing season?
Pretty average.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, well, we'll stop there. Thanks, Jenna. Appreciate your help. So it's interesting because she felt like she didn't have a very good memory, but she actually knew quite a bit of stuff, right? And it was stuff that she hadn't worked on and hadn't used flashcards and, you know, really struggled to learn those things. It's just stuff that she's picked up in life. And so we need to realize that God has actually made us pretty smart. And he's made us so that we learn things. To memorize, all we have to really do is figure out, okay, well, how does that work? Like, what things do we learn? Why did those things stick? And it's pretty easy. You probably already know the answers. But I want you to just think about this movie scenes. You is kind. You is smart. You is important. And if you haven't seen that movie, you just think I'm really bad at English. But you is smart. You are smart. You can learn a lot of things. Even if you don't have a good memory. And personally, I've learned hundreds of verses. I probably couldn't do them right now because I haven't brushed up on them recently. But I have a really poor memory, and I have the grades to prove it. It's something that you can do. And here's the key. Repetition over time. That's really all it is. That's how Jenna learned her Social Security number and her phone number. She didn't sit down and struggle really hard to try to pack those things inside her head. She just learned it. She didn't review the names of people on that TV show. She just watched the show, and probably after three or four times, she started learning some of the names. And so I want to think about repetition, how to use that to your advantage. How can you learn verses, learn scripture, and repeat in a way that will help you to memorize things? And you can use this with scripture, med school, or whatever you want to do with it. So the first key is to just say it the same way every time, word for word. And that really helps because when you say it the same way, it triggers your mind, just like 84 years ago. When we hear that, we know that that's some important document that came from the past, and we've heard it before, and it's not something we hear anywhere else, but when we hear 84 years, we know, oh, 7 years ago. And she's kind of like, 7 years ago? She wasn't sure it was right, but it was in her brain, wasn't it? And that's just how our brains work. And if I were to say, hey, this is a verse in the Bible, it says, because God loves us so much, how many of you would be willing to quote the rest of that verse? Okay, but if I say this, for God so loved the world, how many of you know that verse now? Okay, so the first was pretty much the same thing, right? Like doctrinally, yeah, that pretty much captures it. And so you can be doctrinally correct, but not say the exact same wording. But the catch is when you hear it said just right, that triggers what comes next, because over time you've heard it repeated. Learn the reference first and repeat it the most. Everybody will say, oh, I know scriptures, but I don't know where it's at. I don't know the reference. Well, there's a trick to that. You just learn the reference first, and then you just repeat it at the end of every verse that you say, and then you're reviewing it twice as much. And so that'll help you to get it down. So like with Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses, if I was reviewing it, I'd say Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Dawson Trotman says it's like fore and aft, the beginning and the end. And even though I have a really poor memory, that works for me. It's just enough that it sticks. And it's just a little simple trick. This is kind of a weird thing, but I would encourage you to learn several verses at once. So review is the key. And what happens is if you do one verse, it'll kind of go like this. You'll go, okay, Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Proverbs 16:9. Okay, Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man determines his steps, but the Lord directs his course. That was pretty close. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step. Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Proverbs 16:9. Oh, good, I got it. Okay, so the catch is I just spent 30 seconds reviewing, and I didn't review very much because I thought I conquered it after 30 seconds. So instead, if let's say I was going to start a week, I could practice Proverbs 16:9, and then I'll have like 5 cards that I'm going to work on, 5 verses. And I'll do the next one, say Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes of fool. Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes of fool. Proverbs 17:10. Now, Proverbs 16:9, no idea. Okay, so it's totally flushed from my memory. So we have about 7 seconds of sensory memory, right? And so if you have a little short verse, sure, you can get it just like that, but it's flushed out right away too. And so what I find is if I just do 5 verses, and I'll just take like 5 or 10 minutes in the morning and review my verses, and then the next day I'll do the same thing again. And then the third day is really important, okay? It's the hump day, right? So third day, I do it, and I'm completely discouraged. Because I'm like, okay, I have been working on these for 5 or 10 minutes every day, and I don't know anything. I'm not getting this at all. I am so dumb. I can't do this. It's too hard. And then the fourth day, it's kind of like, oh, wow, it's kind of starting to click. It feels kind of good. And then the fifth day, it's like, all right, I think I got them. It's weird, and it always surprises me every time. It's like, oh, wow, okay, my mind is still working. That's kind of fun. And so what happens is, after 5 days, then I have those verses down fairly well. I need to keep reviewing them for a while because of just how my memory works. But if I had learned one verse every day, what would have happened is at the end of 5 days, I would have known two or three verses, and I wouldn't have had any clue on two or three verses. And so by doing all five at once, I'm actually making a better use of my time. That's the trick, right? It's repetition over time. So I just want to use that time well, because I don't want to do this for an hour every day. I just want to have some little chunk of time and do it well. Another trick is to review as frequently as possible. And so when I'm working on memory, I'll just keep a little pack. You can use your little plastic insurance things that they give you. Keep some verse cards in there and just carry it around with you or stick it in your purse. And what I would do is I still encourage you to do 5 or 10 minutes in the morning when your mind's real sharp, so after your coffee, and do that as a kind of a concentrated time. And then just anything that's extra. You know, if you can go through it once or twice when you're going to the bathroom, or maybe right before bed, or if you have to stand in line somewhere. Sometimes I do it when I'm driving. Only the verses I know pretty well. But don't do that, because then you're going to sue me when you get in a wreck. So, I did throw it out there, but I'm saying it's a bad idea. But it would help. So yeah, that's helpful. Another thing is, don't strain to remember verses. What we can do is be like, oh, Proverbs 17:10, I remember that. Okay, a rebuke. Oh, what is it? Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke. Something about impressing, a rebuke. And what's the key? The key is repetition. What's not happening when you're doing that? Repetition. So you're just making it hard on yourself. You're not using your time well. Don't make it into some kind of a contest that, oh, you give yourself a star if you do really well. Just review. Oh, okay, I don't remember the person. Rebuke addresses of a managed sermon more than 100. Good. Okay, it's reviewed. So it uses the time well to just spend that time reviewing instead of straining, and then it just makes it more fun. If you're always like, oh, what is that? Oh, I'm so dumb. Then it just makes it really unpleasant. And so just spend the time reviewing instead of straining to remember. And if you do that consistently, you can learn a lot of verses. They say that the average person watches like 4 hours of TV a day. That's a little hard to fathom. But let's say that we're better than average. Okay, let's say we only do like 2 hours a day. So, I don't know, what is that, like 10 minutes of commercials? Something like that, maybe a little bit more. If you just reviewed verses during commercials, I think you could learn hundreds of verses without using any other time, any other place. I really do. It just takes that review. It doesn't have to be a super hard thing. And so that's what I encourage you to do. Then we need a goal and a plan. The reality is we would all love to know verses, and today is not going to help us at all unless we make a decision of like, oh yeah, I actually want to do this. And so let me give you a couple ideas on that. So as far as a plan, like what you might want to do, one thing you could do is just find a predetermined set of verses in our church. We have something called Memory Madness. After church, they set up a table there, and they help review verses. And this plan's really easy. You do 10 verses over a period of 10 weeks, and then you say all 10 verses at the end of the 10 weeks. And then there's a new set of 10 after that. And we only do 3 sets of 10 each year, so 30 verses a year. So like if you had come to church here for 3 years, well, at the end of 3 years, if you had been in Memory Madness, you could know 90 verses by heart really well, word for word. It's not a lot. I mean, you could try really hard and probably get that over the next couple of months. But I don't know. For me, it's just kind of helpful. Like, yeah, I'm growing. I'm making progress. And when you start having 100 verses or a couple hundred verses, you start feeling like, you know, I'm kind of getting an understanding of God and His Word. And there's something about it that's just extremely helpful. Another thing you can do is memorize a certain topic. Like maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe you could find 10 verses on anger and memorize those and just try to work on that area in your life, or lust. Or maybe you feel like discouraged all the time and you just feel like, oh, I'm unloved. I'm even unloved by God. Maybe it'd be good to memorize some verses just on who you are in Christ, what Jesus has done for you. We call that our identity in Christ. It's so valuable to do things like that. Maybe verses that shape your beliefs. Maybe you have certain beliefs in your head. It'd be good to tie those down, attach them to a scripture. Okay, I know this is true about God because it says this in this verse. Sometimes you'll come across a verse that's particularly meaningful to you. Like maybe you'll be just reading the Bible, and you'll be like, oh, I found this verse. It's like a treasure hunt. You know, like, oh, look at this gem I just found. And it's like personally meaningful to you. Sometimes it can feel like God is speaking that to me. Well, that would be a great thing to just, you know, write down on a little card, stick it on the bathroom mirror, or carry it around, and just memorize that. Make that part of what's floating around inside your brain. Sometimes I'll do verses that are just difficult to understand. I've probably only done this in maybe 5 verses or so, but sometimes there'll be a verse that's like, what? That can't be true. That's amazing. That's unbelievable. Or that makes no sense. And I'll just memorize it and just let it float around my head for a few years. And oftentimes it's like, oh, I see now. You know, God kind of reveals it to me. And oftentimes it's like, I don't know why that didn't make sense before. You could do something like memorizing a verse from every book in the Bible. Or if you're maybe studying a book of the Bible like Ephesians, maybe you learn one verse out of every chapter of the book. So you'd learn 6 verses. And that can help kind of get a feel for the book, what the book is teaching. It can also help because then you're looking for another verse. It's not one that you memorize, but you're like, oh, okay. Well, let's see. Okay, well, Ephesians 6:1 talks about, that's like obeying parents or something. It's in that section, so it's probably a little bit after that. And it just helps you kind of get a command of Scripture when you start memorizing different verses. You have certain points locked down. It helps you kind of fill in the gaps between the points too. And so those are some ideas. And obviously then the trick is, okay, when? And again, we can all sit here and be like, oh yeah, this is really good. I think I could do this. Yeah, that was helpful. But the catch is we won't do it unless we have some kind of a goal. And so I just encourage you to think about that. If that seems like something you would like to do, maybe just make a goal of, okay, starting tomorrow on Monday, I'm going to start memorizing. And I'm going to do 2 verses a week or whatever, just some kind of a goal. Or maybe you want to take advantage of the start of the new year, or maybe you're like, okay, well, next time a new round of Memory Madness starts, I'm going to jump in, or maybe you want to get a head start on that now. But to have some kind of a goal of I'm going to put this into action. And maybe you want to do it with someone so that you have some kind of encouragement and camaraderie in that. Or maybe you want to make it into a mean thing where someone doesn't know their verse and they have to do push-ups or something. I've done that before. It's probably more appropriate like when you're in college than when you're with your spouse. So yeah, just again, big picture. This has been super helpful for me personally. And if it's something that you would be up for, I think you could find this really life-changing. If we go back to thinking about, did we ever feel inadequate or ill-equipped for what life throws at us, I really think Scripture can equip us for the things that life throws at us. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time here, and we thank you for your Scripture. Thank you that you have just given us so many truths that we can hold on to, and so much guidance in life, and help for everything that goes on, help for our struggles against sin, help for just having hope in something beyond this life. Thank you for just telling us how we could have eternal life through faith in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And thank you for help in my marriage and in my parenting and just in finding the light at the end of the tunnel, just even on a daily basis sometimes. Praise you for that. Pray, God, you would help us prioritize this. And just like we make goals on, oh, I'm going to exercise this year, I'm going to lose 5 pounds or whatever, God, that we might make a goal of, hey, I'm going to try to get to know God's word a little bit better this year. And so I pray you'd give us wisdom in all that. I pray that none of this would become some kind of weird legalistic thing of, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. And if you don't do this, you're a bad Christian. God, don't let that stuff bog us down, that legalism, feeling guilty all the time. God, help us just to walk in joy and freedom and to do this if it benefits us, but not to do it to somehow feel like we're more godly or something. So pray that you would help us in that. And so we love you. Thank you for this time here. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.